So this morning, I just want to welcome you to Father's House Online Church. I want to just give you a massive welcome this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Dorset, and we are excited to be online this morning. I've been just really working with Jesus, just spending time with him about this word. And yesterday I kept saying to Andy, I've got so much in here and I just don't know how to put it together. It's like, it's all in here and it's all going round and round and I need to get it in an order. And it's like, I've got so much in my head and my heart. So this morning, I just really hope that as I bring this word, that it actually helps you come to a place of understanding where I came to over the last few days. If you're online this morning, please take your phone and share this message. Share it with your friends. Just do a public share on your Facebook. And I'm just sharing it now to mine. Do a public share to your Facebook. And then we can get the word out all over. As we have people come on here from all over the nations. And it's absolutely amazing. We've got Frida on, actually, our Zoom call this morning from the Netherlands, which has been just beautiful to meet her kind of face to face and just feel that just to meet another part of the family of God, you know, and just to form a closer relationship family wise. So I just want to welcome you this morning. So Andrew's on there. Great. Well done, Andrew Miles, getting on there. So this morning I want to look at, I've titled it The Big Statement, and it's a statement that Jesus made, and he made this huge statement in John 14 verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I have never heard of anyone in history, ancient or modern, that has ever made such a dramatic statement. Basically, he was saying, I am the only way, I am all truth, and I am the only way to life. This means, if this is, you know, this means that no one can enter heaven except through him. It means that no one can gain eternal life except through him. If Jesus Christ is the only way, if the scriptures are the true word of God, it demands a response. It demands a response. If he is the only way, if the scriptures are true, and this statement that he made, I am the way and the truth and the life, it demands a response. It also means this statement is relevant for like the whole of mankind. It's not just relevant for Israel. It's relevant to the whole. If he is the way, he is the way for everyone. If he is the truth, he is the truth for everyone. And if he is life, then he has life for everyone. He has life because he is life. Nobody is exempt. No one is exempt. If you're watching this morning, you are not exempt. If Jesus is who he said he is, he demands a response from you. If he is the way, he demands how you respond to that, the truth, the life. How do you respond to that this morning? So what is Christ saying here? What is it that we need to hear? Why do we need to hear it? Okay, so to access God as Father, to be free from eternal punishment, Jesus claims to be the only way. Let me say that again. To access God as Father, to be free from eternal punishment, and to have everlasting eternal life with him, Jesus claims to be the only way. The only way. All other faiths give you the opportunity to work your way to paradise. It's based on your good works, your deeds, your forgiveness, how you live, what you eat. It's all about ritual. It's all about what you do to be a pure person. But the scripture tells us that no one is pure, no, not one, that we're all sinful, that we're all born into sin. So to access God as Father, to be free from eternal punishment, to have eternal life with him, Jesus claims to be the only way. That's a massive statement to make, isn't it? So if Jesus is who he says he is, it also means to Israel that he is the awaited Messiah. That he is the awaited Messiah. And we are seeing more and more and more Jewish people turning to Yeshua as their Messiah, which is really exciting because it shows that the times are coming closer to his return. I get really excited about, you know, about the end times and what we're moving into and how the increased glory of God is going to come upon the earth, and increased power and signs, wonders and miracles are growing and intensifying. And we, you know, the news and the media focuses so much on the dark side, you know, on, oh my gosh, we're in a disaster here, and there's a war here, and there's economic decline here, and people are going to lose their homes here. And yet we, as the people of God, if this Jesus is real, we have the hope. We're the hope of the nation right now. Why? Because the hope of the nations lives within us. We are the hope of the nations. We are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If you have Jesus living in you by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are the light of the world today. You have the answers to the darkness. You have the response. You have the power to overcome. Remember, before Jesus told the disciples that he was going to go home, that he was going to leave and send the Holy Spirit, he also said that the Satan would be removed from the earth. So as he was once upon the earth having authority, when Christ was crucified, when Christ rose, when Christ was crucified, the enemy was cast from the earth into the spirit realm. So he is not now walking about as a being. He is in the spirit realm, and he only has access to earth through what we give him permission to have, what we partner with him. So the way, the truth, that was a byproduct, by the way, the way, the truth, the life. Let's look at these three words today and why they change the course of the lives of believers today. How would the disciples have interpreted this massive statement, do you think? I think they must have been like, wow. But the power of the word, the power of these words speaks for itself. So let's look at a little bit of background that led up to this statement being made. What was the background? Number one, Lazarus was raised from the dead. So many people were gathering because they had heard about this incredible miracle. Number two, Jesus was anointed at Bethany with the oil, the perfume on his feet. Number three, Jesus rode into Jerusalem being hailed as king for the Passover, right? So he was coming into the Passover season, preparing for the Passover. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus had been anointed already at Bethany. And then he rides into Jerusalem with their palm branches, all singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, the king has come. Number four, Jesus predicts his death. Number five, Jesus does many signs and wonders among them in that short time. Number six, even the leaders believed in him. Even the leaders, some of the leaders believed in him, but they were too scared to say in case they lost their position. Number seven, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And number eight, he demonstrated the same servant heart that was prophesied hundreds of years prior by the prophet Isaiah in chapters 52 and 53 of Isaiah. Not only did Jesus wash the feet of the disciples, but he did an act. Even in that act, he positioned himself and dressed as a slave by the removal of his outer garment, and he wrapped a towel around him. So these were all things that kind of preceded this statement that Jesus made. So when we look at the feet washing, which kind of led up to this, the feet washing. He was washing the feet of men that he had trained, that he had spent 3 years with, that he had formed friendship with, that he had ministered to, that ministered on his behalf, that he had anointed with his spirit, that saw demons come out of people and people healed and set free from disease and torment. And here he was, the King of Glory, washing their feet. He took off his clothing and he wrapped this towel around him to dry their feet. Can you imagine what Judas must have been thinking? Because Judas had already decided to betray Jesus. It was already in his heart. Can you imagine how he felt when Jesus was getting closer and closer to washing his feet? Like, what was he thinking, you know? I think he was probably thinking, oh my gosh, he knows. He knows. He knows. He knows what I've done. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows. And this conviction that must have lain on his heart. When you think that Judas carried the purse of the Lord, he dealt with the finances, you know, he was like the accountant. He was the one that got shirty when Mary poured the oil on his feet, on Jesus' feet, because he thought it was a waste of money. So here he was with this one that they know as the Messiah coming and washing the feet of the one that was about to betray him. Can you imagine what Jesus was thinking as he came close to Judas's feet? As he began to kneel down before Judas, looking into the face of this disciple that he had chosen, that he had trained, that he ministered to, that he loved. He was commissioned to preach the gospel just as the other disciples. What was he thinking about this son of his, knowing what he was about to release Judas to do? Judas was there when Jesus calmed the storm, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, so much more. Yet he was a traitor, turning from the one who loved him for personal gain and favor. John 13, verse 1, Jesus, it says about Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Even Judas, he loved them to the end. By washing the feet of Judas, he was reminding Judas, you are still one of mine and I will love you to the end. How powerful is that for you today? Doesn't it make you want to love him all the more? Doesn't it make you want to surrender again and again and again and say yes again and again and again? If you're watching this today and you were one that used to run with Jesus and for whatever reason you have walked away or you've become discouraged and you are not communicating with the Lord anymore, if you have walked away from his house, I want to give you this invitation right now to say yes again. Remember, Judas was the betrayer, yet Jesus was reminding him, I will love you to the end because you're mine. You're mine. It's not too late, guys. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that we make in life is we think we have all the time in the world. And we don't. Some of us have a lot longer than others. Some of us don't. But time is something we can't really control. And if the Lord is moving your heart right now by what I'm saying, if that's you, that you've wandered away and you're like, man, I know this is true. I want to give you an opportunity right now to come back to the altar, to come back to the cross and to pick up your cross again and be that one that runs with Jesus again, that gets filled again with the Holy Ghost and filled with the fire of God to be one that runs with him in this season. This is a great season to follow Jesus. This is an amazing season to love the Lord. So take a moment and just give your life, sort your life out with him. Come back to him. Come back to the house. It's time. It's time. So this same Jesus is the one who made this massive declaration. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This one that washed the feet of the one that would betray him. This one that loved to the end. This one that raised the dead. This one that healed the sick, that calmed the storms. This same Jesus that calls you today, the same Jesus that says, no matter what's going on in your life, I'm calling you again today. I am the way. I am the only way. I am all truth. I am all life. And I'm calling you back today. This first word, the way, is a Greek word. And the Greek word is hodos. And it means a roadway or a signpost, something that influences your thoughts, your mind, and your decisions as you journey along the way. So when Jesus says, I am the hodos, although he wasn't speaking Greek, okay, it means that he was saying, I am the roadway, I am the signpost. When you walk with me, I will be the one that influences your thoughts, your feelings, your decisions. Because if I'm not influencing them, something else is. The Hebrew word for way is derech, and it's made up of three letters. This fascinated me, okay? The Hebrew word for way is derech, and it's made up of three letters. The first one is daleth, which means a doorway or an opening. Resh, which means head, thoughts, and mindset. And kaf, which means an empty vessel, the palm of the hand, and the sole of the feet. So Jesus, when he says he is the way, he is saying, I am a roadway, a signpost for you. I am the gate to the fold. I am the gate to the Father. I am the doorway, the opening, the gatekeeper. I am pure in thought and deed, and I became an empty vessel pierced through my hands and my feet. He earned the right to become the way. It was prophesied he is the way. It just fascinated me that when he said, I am the way, it even spoke about like that, the last letter of the way is the palm of the hand, the sole of the foot, and an empty vessel. And it says, you know, he poured himself out. He poured himself out and he was nailed through his hands and his feet. He was prophesying, not I am the way, but I am becoming the way. Everything that follows this moment right now from this Passover meal, I am becoming that which I am prophesying. I am becoming that which I am prophesying. He earned the right to say he is the way. Isaiah 35 verse 8 speaks, this verse says, a highway will be there and it will be called the way of holiness. But that word, the way, is a capitalized way. A highway will be there and it will be called the way of holiness. And it will be for those who walk the way. The clean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. And Jesus is that way. He is the one who is the way, enabling us to walk in holiness. That is that word, derech. He is the way. He is the gate, the doorway, the opening, the gatekeeper to the Father, pure in thought, deed. He became an empty vessel, pierced in his hands and feet, so that he could be the way. So when we walk with him, what does it mean to be in the way, on the way, part of the way, a disciple of the way? Well, in Isaiah 35, it speaks about the way is a walk of holiness. The unclean, the wicked cannot go about it. So for this way, as we step on the way with God, for him to be the way for us, and we're walking in this way of holiness, he says, be holy for I am holy. And this word holiness is the word chadesh. And it means to be separated onto, to be hallowed onto God, to be sanctified, consecrated, purified, and devoted. to be separated, hallowed unto God, sanctified, consecrated, purified, and devoted. So let's look at this next word, truth, the word truth. I am the truth. This is the Greek word aletheia, and it means when Jesus said, I am the truth, what he was saying was, I am all truth that pertains to God. I am all truth that pertains to the duties of man. I am all truth that is free from deceit, deception, falsehood, and pretense. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Can you imagine standing up somewhere and saying, I have all truth. I have all truth pertaining to God. I have all truth pertaining to the duties of man on earth. And I have all truth that is free from deceit, deception, falsehood, and pretense. Can you imagine standing and saying that? You wouldn't do it. But here was Jesus saying, not only am I the gateway and the opening to the Father, that I am the signpost, that I'm calling you to walk the way. I'm calling you to also take on board that you are disciples of the way. Therefore, you will become signposts. You will become those that point to the Father through me. And he says, and here I am, I'm standing here, beloved, and I'm telling you that I am truth, that everything I say, you can believe. Everything I say about God, you can believe. Everything I say about the ways of men, you can believe. Everything I say is pure and holy, free from deceit, free from deception, free from falsehood, and free from pretense. And that was a huge thing to say. And the disciples would have understood the power behind the words that Christ was speaking. So there we're getting like this full whammy of the vastness of who Christ was as the Son of God. And of course, he goes on then in the next chapter to say, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father and we are one. I mean, their minds must have been absolutely flipping, blown apart, you know, like just doing this bit, my brain has been like so overwhelmed. So the last word in this, I am the life. And this is the Greek word zoe. And it means fullness, completeness of life, ethically and essentially, everything that is required for existence today. Fullness. Completeness of life, ethically and essentially, everything required for existence. So he is saying that without me, you would not exist. Without me, you would not exist. Let's look at John 1:1. In the beginning, before everything else, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The literal Word took on a human form. In John 14:20, he says, I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Completeness, fullness. Do we understand it with our mind? Not really, but our spirit gets it. I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. So it kind of takes you right back to Genesis chapter 1. And we see that the Word was spoken, calling all things to be created from what was invisible. It doesn't say that he just spoke and they came. It says that everything was that was visible was made from what was invisible. So in the beginning, God, the Word was spoken. The Logos Word of God went forth. Okay, the Logos Word of God went forth that didn't have human form at that time, and it spoke all things to be created from the invisible. So right back then, the Word was the creative power of God. So this word Zoe, life, also means the Logos, the Word, because the Word is the creative force of God. The declarative word. That's why we put so much emphasis on the prophetic word, the declarative word, the decreeing of what God speaks. Why? Because the Logos brings life. The Logos challenges disease. The Logos challenges sickness. The Logos challenges torment. The Logos challenges darkness. The word was with God. That word God was the word Elohim, which is the Trinity of God, the triune being. The word was God. The triune being of God was the word. The Logos was the Trinity, the whole of God. Okay. The word was with God, the Son. So you have the Logos as God, and then you have the word was with God, the Son. And then the word, the Logos, became flesh, Christ. Together, they are the Logos dwelling within us. So this word, the Logos, the spoken word of God, the Son, actually became Christ. He got a name. He took on human flesh. The word Logos became Christ. He took on humanity. So what has this got to do with Zoe and life? Logos is the absolute fullness of life itself, both essential and ethical and belonging to God. All life flows from the spoken word of God, the breath when he speaks. Through the divine unity of the triune relationships, the Logos, the word, which is God, was God, with God, became a flesh being called life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Okay? I know that's like, your brain's like, woo. So Christ Jesus here is stating both to the disciples and to you today, I am the gate to the fold. I am the doorway. I am the opening and the gatekeeper to the Father. I am pure in thought and deed. I became an empty vessel, pierced through my hands and my feet. The only way to the Father, that is who I am. I paid the price. I emptied myself. I have paid the price to be the way that you walk upon. So what does this mean for you today? If this Jesus is the word, the Logos, that was with God at the beginning, that spoke the worlds into being, that brings life to everything in creation, then he is the truth. And if he is the truth, then he is also the way and the only way to the Father. And that demands a response from you today. It also means that he is your gateway to the Father. It also means, John 10:11, he is your good shepherd. It also means in John 8:12, he is your light, your pathway, your direction. In John 6, he is your bread of life. Matthew 28, he is with you always. Come on. Woo-hoo! Luke 10, he is sending you. John 8, he is not of this world. He is from above. John 11, he is the resurrection and the life. He is your teacher. He says, I am who I am. He is a home builder. I prepare a place for you. In the Father's house are many mansions. He is the true vine. He is the unifier. He is the restorer. He's the sender. He's the deliverer, the redeemer, the salvation, the strength, the joy, the counselor. He is the forgiver of your sin. He is the healer of your diseases. He is your way, your truth, and your life. If Jesus is the only way, if the scriptures are the true word of God, then it demands a response. Jesus said that all he spoke was truth. Everything he taught about life, about consequences, about the Father, about eternity and death and light and darkness, all of it was perfect, perfect, unadulterated truth. He declared that in him was the light of life. He declared that in him was eternal life with the Father, that he was the way to that life. If he truly is the way, if he truly is the truth and he is the life, I want to give you an a moment just to respond to that. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Is your name on the doorpost? Is your name on one of those mansions? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the way? Do you believe that everything he said is true? Do you believe that he is the life giver? I want to give you an opportunity to respond right now. If that's you, whether you've been walking away from the Lord, or you need to recommit your life to Jesus today, or if you're someone that has heard about God and heard about Jesus, but has never made that decision to surrender your life to him, to be those ones like we said about, you know, the holiness, being separated unto him, being hallowed unto God, being sanctified, being consecrated, being purified, devoted to him. I want to give you an opportunity to begin that journey today. So for those of you that would like to resurrender your life today, I want you just to take a moment and just settle your heart before him. And this is a really important moment in your life. You just say, Jesus, I repent for walking away from you. I repent of the sin of rebellion. I repent of my stubbornness. I repent of offense and bitterness. I repent of unforgiveness. And Lord, I lay all my stuff again before you. All my wrongdoing, all my sinful thoughts and actions, all my hurts, my wounds. I lay them before you now. I give them to you. And right now, Jesus, I thank you that you love me to the end. That you love me to the end. And I choose again, God, to walk your way of holiness. I choose again to come through the doorway. Jesus, that you are my doorway. I choose to give my life to you again, to surrender to you. Come and fill me now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And anoint me with your fire to serve you today. If that's you today, I just declare over you the goodness of God right now, the goodness of God, the power of God, and just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill them. Lord, we release your Spirit right now to fill those ones that are surrendering again to you. Lord, we release your fire to fill them, born of Spirit, born of fire, in Jesus' name. And we call you to be separated unto him, hallowed unto God, sanctified, consecrated unto the Lord, purified and devoted unto God, that you would be one that walks in love with him, with this one that loves you to the end, this one that still pursues you, this one that has pursued you right to this point. We bless you to know him, to know the fullness of all he is, that he would be one that calls out your destiny and you partner with him as you walk along the way with him. We declare over you that this will be a joyful season, a season full of expectation and favor, a season full of signs and wonders and miracles as you see people healed and set free as you minister to them. And if you're one that has never given your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. So again, just settle your heart before him. I want you to repeat after me, God, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to this earth as the living word to bring me life. I believe that you died to take all my sin and the punishment that I deserve. I declare today that you are the Christ, and I come to your cross and I surrender my life to you today. I give myself to you in complete surrender. Come and consecrate me, God, with your presence. Come and purify my heart, purify my mind. Set me free, God, to serve you. I surrender to you today. Come fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your fire. Thank you that you come, that you said that when I ask, you will come. And I receive you by faith, Lord Jesus. And I declare today that I am a son or a daughter. I am a son or a daughter of the living God. And if that's you, you have just transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Come on, hallelujah. You've just come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And again, we just release the power of the Holy Ghost over you. In Jesus' name, we just release the power of the Holy Ghost over you. We just say, fire of God, come and fill them. Burn up all the dross, Lord. Fill them with your joy. Fill them with your power. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, for those that are bound by addiction, Lord, we just break the power of that addiction right now in Jesus' name. We just separate it. We just cast it to the ground in Jesus' name. We just declare you free. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind and see the lame walk. For he has appointed us as believers to set captives free. So today I set you free. In Jesus' name, and I tell you today that your sins are forgiven. Come on, your sins are forgiven. He will love you to the end. He will love you to the end. But he calls you to walk on that way of holiness. And he will be your teacher. He will be your deliverer, your redeemer. He is your salvation, your strength, your joy, your counselor. He has forgiven your sins. He will heal your diseases. He is more than enough for you to feast upon in these days. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you want that life today, just acknowledge that he is the truth and tell him, today, God, I have chosen again to become a follower of the way. I will follow the way unto life eternal. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Your word has power. Thank you that it never returns void. And God, we pray for each one that's made a response to you today, God, that you would come. Lord, that this would be the first day, the first moment of the rest of their lives with you. Lord, that there would be an abundant joy. Lord, that you would manifest your presence around them. Fill them, God, to capacity with your spirit, with your fire. Lord, that enables them to live holy and consecrated lives for you in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us today. I just want to give you an opportunity today to bring of your substance just to sow in to the ministry here. I just want to give you an opportunity to bring your offerings to the Lord this morning. And you can do that here in two different ways. You can give through our own bank account by direct, by just Bax transfer. The account number is 415-66776, the sort code 401722. Or you can give through PayPal to paypal.me/fathershouse61. So we bless you today to bring of your substance. The Lord says that when we give of our substance into the kingdom of God, that he will open up the heavens and pour down such a blessing that we cannot contain. And in these days, guys, we need blessings that we cannot contain. So we bless you to sow into this ministry so that this ministry can grow. This ministry can reach the nations for Jesus with the word of the Lord. So we just bless you to give today in Jesus' name. Thank you for your substance. Father, we just thank you for those that are giving right now, Lord. We just declare that blessing on them, Lord, that you will open up the heavens and that you will pour out upon them such a blessing that they cannot contain, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. Lord, that their basket may be full as they sow seed, God, we expect and we look for with great expectation a harvest, Lord, of the seed that is sown. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So yeah, thank you for joining us today at Father's House. Please share this message on your Facebook or your media platforms, and we will see you again next week. If you have anything you want to talk to us about, please contact us on fathershouse.com. There's a little contact box there. We would love to chat to you and get to know you better or answer your questions or pray for you in this season. God bless you.